Gospel is from Luke. Then they arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order him to go back into the abyss. Now there, on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord.
So every year we ask you to give and support the church, and one of the things that does is it supports things that are going on here, but another thing it does is it supports ministries that go much beyond our community. It goes to Churchwide, where Churchwide gives it out to ministries that happen around the globe. And so today we have a woman named Susan Smith, who has worked in the Central African Republic, and actually the Central Africa Republic has been one of the places our giving has been going for the last several years. So we will have her here just now to speak about that ministry. So let's give her a round of applause as we welcome her forward.
Thank you and good morning. Or as they would say in CAR, Baralakwe. So first, let me just introduce myself a little bit. I am a longtime educator from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and worked for the Pittsburgh Public Schools for more than 30 years. And then I took a call in 2014 to become the education advisor for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Central African Republic. I am an ELCA missionary. So you can see from the picture there, the orange-red is the country of CAR. It's about the size of Texas. It's a landlocked country. But of the 4 years that I have served there, 3.5, I have lived in Cameroon, which is the country to the west of that, because they had a coup d'etat in 2013, where rebels came in and ousted the then-current president. They've had, four or five of those since their independence in 1960, so it wasn't new. But what was different this time was that the violence got much worse and continued for much longer. They've now elected a new president, and the new government has been formed, but there are still pockets of violence. And because of the difficulty of trying to respond to my call and my work at a distance, I have decided to leave that position as of this summer, and I will be waiting for God's next call for me. But I have been working with the programs of the church. And now, my what I'd like to do today is talk to you a little bit about lessons I've learned from being there and also tie these ideas to the gospel reading for today. So next. So when I started to think about how I could explain to you life in a country which is very different than our own, after all, CAR is one of the five poorest countries in the world, and things look very different there, although people are very much the same. But it ended up being like a Gordian knot, like you see in the picture there. Every time I pulled one thread and thought, I'll start here, 10 other things came with it, and I thought, well, for you to understand the first, you need to understand the others. But I will do what I can to help you understand things, and I will be around afterwards for a little bit if you'd like to ask me other questions. Next. So maybe a lot of the basics you know. I put up some pictures here just to give you an idea of what things look like there, since they don't look like things around here, not in Bismarck and not in Pennsylvania. People are very poor. 80% of the people live from subsistence farming. There has been, as I say, continuing insecurity. The population of the whole country is about 4.5 million, and of those, since the crisis started, about one quarter of the people have been displaced, either internally displaced within the country or to other neighboring countries. So things look different. Many of the houses are made from mud brick, and they have thatching. Most places do not have running water or electricity, or maybe they do for short periods of time. Lots of people now have cell phones, but landlines are non-existent. And actually, for years now, the whole country has had no postal system, so you cannot mail a letter there at all. But really, these things don't give you an idea of who the people are or their faith. Next. Hospitality is key there. And you can see the picture on the left. I attended the youth gathering in May 2016. The welcome that you get when you arrive is just amazing. You're surrounded by people who are joyful and singing a welcome song and shouting. And not only did they welcome us right at the church, but it started a mile away where they sent some people there with palms and singing. And then periodically along the road between the first people and the church, there were more people with welcoming songs and shouting. They give a lot. Hospitality, as I say, is very important. You arrive at someone's house, they give you water, and then maybe juice, and probably a meal if you're there for any length of time. And when you're served a meal, you're always served meat, because meat is very expensive, and actually few people can really afford it, but they will offer it to their guests to show you that you are valued as a guest. So the other picture there is 2015, April, when I was in Bouar, CAR, for Easter service, and then they shared a meal with me and with other members of the congregation afterwards. Next. So I want to talk a little bit about a comparison. There's a continuum in culture from cultures that are very individual-oriented, as we are in the United States, and those that are very community-oriented, as they are in the Central African Republic. So what that means is, in both places, family is important, but as you probably are well aware, what the individual wants and thinks becomes much more important here. So that if you take a job, I mean, we have much more mobility because people move for their jobs, or they're making many more of the decisions on their own. In CAR, the extended family becomes much more important, and the community. So you have the extended family, but you also have the ethnic group, and then you have the community around you. And all of these are really very important. Youngsters are often asked to go and get something or to do jobs. They carry the babies, as you see in that picture. They help out with many of the tasks. And maybe this is also why during a liturgy service, you'll see lots of kids, and the kids sit by themselves. So you generally, although it's not strict, you have the men, the women, and then the children. And the children are all there, but if they're making some noise or babies are crying, or even toddlers wandering up around the front near the altar, this is accepted. babies and that families are a very normal part of life and part of the rhythm that's expected, so that pregnancies also are very common and expected and part of that rhythm. Here, we tend to focus on the individual, the woman having the baby, and how it will change her nuclear family or the people around her. And we make it a really special and almost like it's individualized. There, it just is. You know, when a woman is pregnant, she's pregnant. And when she's nursing a baby, she nurses wherever, because this is just part of community life. The culture overall is very paternalistic. That means that the men rule the roost. They get to make most of the decisions in the family, in the government, in the church. There are exceptions to that. When, with all the recent troubles, they had to name an interim president, they named a woman, Catherine Samba Panza, who had been the mayor of Bangui. And when I asked some of the people I knew what they thought about having a woman as the leader of their country, they said, this is a good thing. She's a woman, she's a mother, she did a good job in Bangui, she will understand our problems and things will get better. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of CAR has the first woman who got her PhD in theology and who is also a pastor and now the director of the seminary. Her name is the Reverend Dr. Antoinette Injara. And when, in 2015, the church elected a new president and vice president, for president there were four men and two of them were running neck and neck, and for vice president there was a man and a woman, and she won by a landslide. So Reverend Rachel Dumbaye is now the vice president of the National Church. These are exceptions, but they're telling exceptions because they help us to understand the role, to a certain extent, of the women there. But for the most part, the men still make the decision and are in the roles of importance. Next. Languages are really important there. You'll see the number of languages up there. Children learn their mother language. It's the one that the family speaks and the ethnic group around them speaks. But then they also learn the languages of the other ethnic groups around them. And then they also learn Sango, which is the African language that almost everybody in the country speaks. This is pretty unusual for an African country to have one language that most people speak. And it could be a great unifying factor if they could just stop some of the ethnic killing that's happening at the moment. But then when you go to school, you learn French. And if you go to secondary school, then you learn English or another language. So they are very oriented to languages and communicating with each other. There's not enough pastors. They don't get a lot of money, often not enough to live on. Wait, is that CAR or is that here? That's also true in many places of the church here. But there it's also true. And there, pastors and their families will also have a field, not just a small garden, but a field where they're growing crops so that they can feed their families and maybe have some to sell to earn a little extra money. But they are people that have salaries, and anyone with a salary is expected to give to other people. So you get many people coming to you to ask for a loan, to ask you to help them with a project. And even though these salaries are low, part of that community orientation is that you are expected to give even when you really can't afford to. So there's no right or wrong about the kind of culture, whether it's individual oriented or community oriented. We all love our families and the peoples around us. We all try and serve God. We have just found different ways to be able to do that. But recently, many people in CAR have lost hope. The age expectancy, the life expectancy for adults is 48. So how many of you here are older than 48? Okay, hands down. That does not mean there's nobody over the age of 48. One of the problems is, that the infant mortality, children dying before the age of 5, is very high. And that will, of course, bring down the age expectancy. But there are fewer older people, and healthcare is very difficult. People can't afford it. Sometimes it's not available. So education is poor. Before the crisis, only a little more than half of the people were literate. That does not mean they graduated from high school. It means they can read and write. And you can read and write even by the end of elementary school, generally. I'm not sure what the test is they use. But since the fighting started, about 25% of children are in school. That means 75% are not. So young people don't feel that they have any way to advance or to find other options. It's really not much of a surprise then that one of the avenues that they tend to choose is to go and find weapons and loot or extort money or get involved with these rebel groups. But the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the CAR helps provide hope. During all 4 years or 3.5 years of the crisis, the church has continued to function. They had services every Sunday. They offer the sacrament. They offer it once a month, generally at the end of the month, but they are celebrating the special holidays. The institutions and programs of the church have continued to function. Okay, they're limited because they can't always travel where they plan to go because of road insecurity or because of fighting in a region, but they continue to function. Next. One of the effects of paternalism, which is very prevalent there, as I say, is that has been fostered by the colonizers, in this case the French, and by early missionaries, and by the traditional culture, is that you expect others to give you what you need. That's the handout there at the top. You also expect someone else to be solving your problem. Schools are not really big about teaching analysis and problem solving. It's much more likely that you have to copy things off the board and then memorize it, and then you regurgitate that back on a test. So that finding ways to solve problems is not easy, and you're expecting someone else to do it. But the ELCA and Global Missions are now using a model of accompaniment. An accompaniment means walking together with the partner. And that's why you see all those people walking together, because there are many ways that you can walk together, but it always involves listening to the partners and working with them. So, for example, I know here really like to give money for concrete things. For example, for the Village School Program, which operates 20 elementary schools in villages in the western part of CAR where the government has no school, we really like to be able to give money to build a school. We can see it afterwards. We can get a picture. Well, okay, it may take a little effort, but we can get a picture, and we can know that we helped build that building. But what they need even more than that is help running the schools, understanding how to better advance the schools, and helping to improve the quality of the teaching. The leadership of the Lutheran Church in CAR has said that schools are a priority and literacy is an immense problem for them within their communities and within the church, and they want to make that a priority. But listening to them and not just going and saying, here's money for schools. Yes, they need money for schools, there's no question. Of the 20 schools, only right now, about 3 of them have permanent brick buildings. The others they build like gazebo-type things where there are thatch roofs and no walls, and this is where the children go. But even more, what the church is saying is they need the support in helping to make these schools better and helping to educate more of their children. So one of the things that happened, because I was evacuated twice, and as I say, 3.5 of the 4 years that I was there, I lived in Cameroon, and I worked at a distance. I lived in the town right next to the border, which is a cross town, and most of the commerce goes in through Garibaldi. And Central African leaders could come and work with me, but I was not authorized to go to them. And as a result, I ended up doing a lot of work with lots of the leaders of programs and institutions of the church to help them with planning and budgeting, and how is planning related to budgeting, and how's that related to reports, and how is that important for us as the leaders of programs, because These are people that live hand to mouth. Subsistence farming means you don't have much of anything, and you don't know what's coming tomorrow or maybe even tonight, so it's hard to plan for a month or a year. But once the leaders started doing that, they're better able to understand why the partners are asking for these kinds of reports and information and how they can make it their own first. But it would have been really a lot easier for me. I'm a longtime educator. I've been writing lesson plans and doing objectives and thinking about the kind of planning and analysis and reflection that we're trying to teach them for decades. I could say, look, I can see what the situation is there. And I understand now you're telling me this is what your program is, so here are your objectives. But really, that's not helpful. They are the experts in their country, about their country, about their church, about their neighborhoods. So it was my job to walk with them and help them understand what an objective is and why it's important to think about what you want for the people as a result of the program or institution that you're running. It took a lot more time and a lot more effort, but in the long run, they're growing and developing, and that's me walking beside them, not giving them what they need. In addition, if I were to go and say, yes, here's the solution to your problem, here's the objective, here's how you should go to solve that problem, in the long run, it creates a major imbalance, which maintains the paternalistic attitudes, but also creates resentment on their part because they know that they can do it, but they're afraid and they're hesitant to do it. So there are lots of ways to walk beside. How does all of this tie into the gospel reading of Jesus and that man who had all those demons? Well, when Jesus came into the area, the people recognized him and knew what of his reputation and what he was doing, but the demons did too. And they begged to live. They wanted to go into the pigs instead of being sent out somewhere else. Well, Jesus agreed. And what happens? They go into the pigs run off the cliff and drowned. And what's the people's reactions? They're afraid. Jesus rarely did what the others expected. You know, and I think that's part of the reason that often his reaction, his actions got a reaction of fear or dislike or even hate. I mean, look at still true today. My original call was to go and work with the village school program and with Christian Ed, and then we'd see if I had time, I'd work with other things. But within 6 months, I had been evacuated twice, and I ended up, as a result, working with many of the leaders within the church and hopefully had more of an impact on the church as a whole. But people there, like people here, like people in this story from Jesus' time, they fear change. They just wanted Jesus to leave, go away. You know, and we too want to reject sometimes, and it can be at varying levels, but we are called to be open, to read our Bible, to pray, to hear the Word of God, to listen for Jesus and his message. Jesus, after all, is the one who can truly bring us hope and change, but not always change in the way that we expect it. But what better way than to follow Jesus, who calls us to love God with all our hearts and minds and souls, and to love our neighbors as ourselves? It's a great way to reduce the fear, to increase the love of neighbor, and to walk in accompaniment. Next. So this picture is taken from the partners consultation, which took place in April 2016, and it took place in Garibaldi, Cameroon, because of the security and not wanting the partners not wanting to go into CAR yet because of security reasons. But it shows the leaders of the Central African Church with the partners who were representing the various organizations from Europe and from the U.S. We and the partners walk together wherever those partners are. And we walk together so that we can grow in the Lord. My call for the past 4 years has been to walk with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Central African Republic. And yours, in part, has been to support the work there and to support Anne and Willie Lanji, who are the ELCA regional representatives in the region with whom I worked closely. I don't know what my next call will be. Some of yours may be clear and some of it may not be. There's a lot that can be done walking with others, even if it's at a distance. At the end of today's lesson, Jesus tells the man whose demons had been removed to go and tell what God had done for him. We too can follow this command as we walk with partners, working with each other, listening to each other to better hear and follow God's will. Amen.